get ready for our study in what has come to me to be most important virtues of Christian life, and that is, of course, spiritual love. I make a great deal in regard to faith because that's where everything starts. But faith is the means of getting to the objective end, and even the objective end, even that isn't spiritual love. It's what spiritual love will do. And for you and in regard to others, we have some very interesting things coming up Sunday. And the next two Sundays, or three Sundays, really, well, anyway, a couple of Sundays, we're going to have a special Sunday, two Sundays from now, Sunday morning. You might want to be here. It'd be unusual. I'm not going to tell you what it is. That's why I've said it there. But it's going to be hard for me not to want to go to the study in John 14 where it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I've discovered some really wonderful things even in that. In fact, chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, and 17, the upper room discourse and prayer of Jesus Christ is centered around the force of spiritual love and what it will do. And I'm becoming more and more aware of the fact that you can really tell when a Christian is in a proper relationship with the Holy Spirit in so many ways. And what I'm talking about here, it's obvious if they're not even in the momentum. But when a Christian claims to be in a spiritual momentum and they open their mouth and they in any way cut and attack another Christian, you just know, and I'm going to show you these things in Scripture, that, wait a minute, something's not right here. And by the way, not only in dealing with others, but in ourselves, when you hear yourself, when we hear ourselves, and we hear the words coming out of our mouth, is talking in a negative way and to run down another Christian who is in Christ and in the battle, we know immediately something's wrong here. I'm not in spiritual love. And I'm seeking in some way to hurt another believer, to cause some problems, whatever it may be. And it becomes a shout of where we are if we'll listen to the words that come out of our mouth. Because, there are just things that spiritual love will not do, and there's things that spiritual love will do. And I've been, working on the passage in Peter for us, and that is that love covers all sin. That's a boggling statement. Does it mean that it overlooks them? What does it mean? And it's a very powerful statement. But Christians are more concerned about maybe being right, more concerned about those kinds of things than they are representing Christ. And I just want to encourage you in regard to what I'm finding to be just the flow. And what is so aggravating in studying John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, five chapters, what I'd really like to do, if we lived in the old days, is give you a whole week off if you would give me Sunday morning from about 9:30 to Sunday afternoon at 4. And just take, and in between there, take time for a picnic, lunch or something, but like they did in the old days, and just spend the whole time grasping those four or five chapters. They are pivotal to the church. And they're saturated with the momentum. There are several momentums in those chapters that you may get a sense of by going by verse, but the relationship of Jesus Christ and God the Father is just remarkable through this. And you just have to appreciate and really get it into your mind that the Gospel of John is a revelation. It is a revelation of the Father. And this is so important. It is not a revelation of Jesus Christ. It is a revelation of God the Father by Jesus Christ. That's how important this is. Then there is, all through this, the relationship of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the believer, and therefore a relationship of Jesus Christ and the believer. These are the relationships that are all through this section, and the subject matters that are powerful through this section are faith and love. And I wish sometimes, and since we probably won't be able to do what I'd like to do in that regard on a Sunday, I challenge you, pick out a night, pick out an afternoon, pick out a morning, pick out a time. I don't know, it depends on how fast you can read, it shouldn't take too long. And just sit down and read chapter 13 through 17 of John. I just challenge you to do it and just let it, let as you read, just go through, boom, boom, boom. Don't really stop and just read through this. Get a feel. And then maybe the second time you start reading through, start noting the not only the number of occurrences, that's important, but where faith is brought up and where love is brought up, where these relationships are brought up. And it just becomes powerful. The relationships that are in those chapters and not only the relationships, but the impact of love. So I want to try to stay with my outline for this study, dealing with spiritual love. Sit right here. Sit over here with us. There you go. We won't bite you. All right. The relationship, I want to stay here with what we're studying on this night, dealing with loving as Christ loved, and not bring in Sunday mornings, which is to, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But it's one of those kind of deals. I wish I could say, plan to overlap it, but I didn't. Now, this coming Sunday, the last Sunday in July, and then the next Sunday will be the first Sunday in August. Sunday mornings, a special service being planned. Then Sunday evening, we'll have our communion service. And the food and the time for fellowship and fun together and everything is bring some soul food. Soul food. So that means and bring some encouragement and bring some, I don't know, no, no, all right. Bring your favorite dish of the South, Sunday, August the 4th at 6 o'clock, and we will have our service together, have a communion service, and I'm not going to be able to have both of the services dealing with the communion, so I'll have to decide what we're going to do that night for the service part, the study in the Scripture. But you'll really enjoy Sunday morning if you're able to make it, the first Sunday in August. Be very unusual in the history of our assembly. In fact, we've probably not had any service like it in the 24 years I've been here. So they'll have this, is there one of these out in the foyer? So if you can look at that, and just sitting here looking at it, Jim, we're going to get hungry just sitting here reading this thing. This is good. Gumbo, red beans and rice. All right. Look at this good stuff. All right. Dirty rice. Okay, I'll be sure to pass that one by. All right, let's get ready for our study. Just a couple of things. Tish's daughter went into the hospital this morning at about 6 o'clock and just had a lot of preparatory things to go on and really didn't enter into the major heart part of the surgery until around 5 our time, probably later or whatever. And there's probably right now in the surgical part, they took Leanne into and her husband and her mother Tish into the room and showed them a very elaborate of everything they're going to do. They're going to go in and put a metal plate and bolt it in here and do a lot of things with that, and then put her through this great big type of a unit, and that will shoot the laser thing, the radiation, and may have to do that several times, and it was really an ordeal just to watch it, and that's interesting to know what they're going to do. I think I'm kind of, hey, you don't have me asleep? Yeah, I didn't just do it. And be in prayer for the entire family at this time. Stephanie is with us tonight. I hope she's with us through the whole service and just remain that way and continue to be in prayer as she gets closer to having birth, giving birth. Talked to Leah about Riley, the little girl, 7 months old, who broke her little ankle, and she's doing real fine. She's in a little cast, and I'd like the footage. I'd like to see that, but it's in a little cast right now, probably doing it for about 3 weeks. So continue to be in prayer. Because, you know, the bones healing and all, if it heals incorrectly, could be a bad deal. So continue to be in prayer in that respect. Anything else you need to bring up real quick? Okay. Let's approach the throne of grace together and get ready for examining the scriptures in regard to loving as Christ loves. Let us pray. We wait with eager anticipation, Heavenly Father, to the revelation of our Savior, when we will see Him as He is. But until that time, Heavenly Father, it is our distinct privilege to, while not seeing His face, be transformed into His very image. And the point of being transformed into His image is to have the thinking of love that Christ had, that He did not hold and grasp to His deity, but Heavenly Father, He put that aside that He might come and take our place on a cross. His love demonstrated toward us, Heavenly Father, is so powerful that it captures us, takes hold of us, and we are compelled by that love to be ambassadors for Christ, to tell others of Him and of His love. We understand, Father, that we cannot love as Christ loved us until we know how He loved us, until we have been affected ourselves by that love. Therefore, Father, we pray that the Spirit will guide us, illuminate for us the truth of Scripture, that we can see and understand and be affected by that love and have it be manifested from us. Protect us now, Father, from the powers of darkness that would seek to intrude upon our understanding of these things and seeing these things. Protect us, Father, from the powers of the flesh that would want to superimpose flesh love in the place of spiritual love. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, new commandment. The new commandment that we have studied in John 13:34 and 35 is that we love one another as Christ has loved you. This is the commandment by Christ, and it's going to become very important now, that concept of commandment, when we come to John 14, verse 15, where if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and the context of what that means. But in context, as we've already noted, you already know part of it, that it is that we love one another as He loved us. Now, last week we started with the question. And the question is a very good question, and that is, how? How can I love as Christ loved? Christ's love was just unbelievable, that He would die on a cross when we were His enemies. Can I have that kind of love? Can I actually love my enemies to the point that I would lay down my life for them? We like to protect ourselves and still call ourselves functioning as Christians. We call it tough love when we can really discipline and straighten people out and say that we're doing it in love. We're going to find out Sunday what tough love is from the Scripture point of view, not human psychology, but the Scripture point of view. So we have to find out how can I love as Christ loves. And the best place to start in this is to be able to admit to yourself that I personally can't. I cannot love as Christ loves me. I can't do it. Once you say that, then you are now in position. You have put yourself in position to now take on and learn how to love as Christ loved and do it the only way that you and I can. You have to put yourself in position. Until you realize the need, you are not going to do it. But once you recognize I can't do it on my own, then we're now ready to find out how to do it. And that's what we're now in the midst of looking at. And last week, in dealing with the new commandment, we took up a great number of principles just dealing with the new commandment, dealing with the principles of authority. And then secondly, in dealing with this, we took up the principle of freedom, that we must be free to love. We looked at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. You have to be free to love. Only a person who is in freedom is free to love. And my classic example that I like to use, throw out, a single person is not free to love. They are in bondage. And only a married person is free to love. And that transfers over into the spiritual realm where a person must be free in order to love as Christ loved. And we ended up at point 6 last week, and so I'm not going to go over those. Time just doesn't allow it. So we'll just start right from that point. Now, coming after those 6 things that we noted last week, we come to this principle. You must recognize this law of love as a law of your very being. You have to recognize this. This is called the law of love. It is called the law of love, and we have to recognize this law of love as a law over our very being, over our very existence. This law of love is for our own best interest, but what's important? This law of love, and that's why I'm using the word law here, this law of love is not bondage. This law of love. See, usually when we think of law, we think of bondage. But I want to remind you of 2 things now when we think about bondage. I want to remind you, first of all, we have the law of Abraham, and we have to know if that's what's being talked about in some of the passages that talk about law. Then we have the law of Moses. Now, under the law of Moses, this is a law of bondage. This is a law that causes us to have to work and be for God and obey every part of the law. However, the law of Abraham is the law of grace and faith. Abraham believed, and it was credited to him righteousness. So therefore, we talk about the law of Abraham, it is not bondage. About the law of Moses, it is bondage. Now, the law of love, which is the law of Christ, called different things in the scriptures. It is the law of Christ, and the law of Christ is not bondage. It is easy. It is kind. And I want you to look. We're not going to examine this passage because I'm saving it for another occasion, but look with me at Matthew 11. Well, it's on my mind, and let's look at it so that you'll see what things we're talking about here. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And we'll just look. We'll look here at verse 28. Come to me. Come to me, that's Christ, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Now, yoke. Let's watch this now. Come to me, those of you who are weary and heavy laden. As we have in the passage, it says, come to me, all you are weary, heavy laden. Now, I just want to know if we've turned to it enough times. What passage in the Old Testament does it talk about those who are weary, and what is it said to them that we've looked at over and over? Isaiah 28. And because remember, what did he say? He said, here's my message, and it's give rest, faith to the weary. Give rest. Here is repose, which is faith. It's going to correspond with this, as we'll see later. But come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, what I want to show you is you're reading this in the Greek. You're reading along, and just watch how this works into your mind. See? Here's rest. And forget verse divisions. You don't have those in the Greek. Here's rest, and here's yoke. Here's rest, and then here's the yoke. Now, they don't go together in the normal thinking. We don't think, when we think of a yoke, that isn't rest. See, a yoke is a burden. And yet, what Christ, and that's what I want your mind to start thinking, Christ says, here's rest. And the yoke that I'm going to lay on you, and what is the yoke? The yoke is the command that I'm going to give you. That's the yoke. Okay, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I, Jesus Christ, am gentle. That's what he is. gentle and humble in heart. People, if you're going to follow Christ, this is the nature that you and I have to take on. People have this idea they want to be John Wayne Christian. We better look at the scriptures. I am gentle, I am humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Then verse 30. For my yoke and my commands, they are easy. And what the Greek word is, they are kind. They are kind. Now, what I'm going to show you later, but get your mind ready for this thinking, is what the reason this yoke that we're talking about is so kind is because this kind of yoke, instead of causing you to bear the burden, it bears the burden. That's why this yoke is kind. And then look what he says. He says, and my load is light. So we have the yoke and the load. And what is so interesting is the yoke of Christ is going to carry all of our load for us. And what all of this comes down to, my commands, all of this comes down to this love. To love as Christ loved. People, you're not burdened. You're not burdened with over 1,000 commands as in the law. In the system of the law, you have over 1,000 commands. Do's and don'ts and regulations and rules and do and do, do and do, do and do, and a rule here and a rule there, here a little, there a little, on, 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 on. Just goes on and on and on. You have too many rules, too many commands, too many. And the Mosaic Law, Christ comes along and says, hey, mine is kind and light. Mine is easy, they're kind, and it's light. What is it? It's love. The love is Christ's love. Like we've got two commands. He gives us two. Faith and love. These are the commands of Christ. And they're easy and they're light. So people, we have a new commandment. The new commandment is to love one another as I have loved you. And that is the command. And you have to respect that in your mind, in your life, in your dealing with your husband, with your wife. And we're going to be looking at some passages. You know, it's easy to love when somebody loves you. But Christ said, even the sinners do that. Even he really hits them below the belt here. He says, even the tax collectors will do that. And there's nobody lower than a tax collector in this time. Because they just cheated everybody. But even a lowly tax collector loves when he's loved. But to love when you're not loved. To love in return when you are attacked, when you are dealt with in a wrong way, and yet you love. This is what is given to us. But it is not a burden. It is not something heavy. And the reason it isn't, people, and the reason we can understand this is, if you and I will start thinking that when somebody, especially a believer, when a believer does us wrong, to love one another, when a believer does us wrong, and we return it with love, then love, the spiritual love, has to bear the whole burden of it. Spiritual love has to take all of the hurt of this other person over here who has treated you in a wrong way, who has done you wrong, or perceived wrong, but let's just say really have done you wrong. It is, love has to bear the whole, and that's why our study in 1 Corinthians 13, when we get to it, and we'll get to it very soon, and I'm just going to finish up the how. I've got four or five things to note, and then we're going to get to 1 Corinthians 13, and the last one is, love never fails. Love can take it. It's long-suffering. People, I'm not long-suffering. If you think you are, you're wrong. We're not long-suffering. It doesn't take much to hurt us. And to cause us to want to defend ourselves and to get into this battle. But love isn't like that. The yoke that Christ has given to us is strong enough to take it for us. We don't have to take their attack. We don't have to take their wrong. We don't have to. Love will take it for us. If we will, by faith, allow the Holy Spirit to pour this love inside of us, this love is of such design that it will take all of the hurt and protect you. You don't have to bear their hurt. You don't have to bear their attacks. You don't have to bear when another believer treats you wrong. You don't have to. If you want to, that's your decision. If you want to get even, that's your decision. But if you want to be loved, if you want to be spiritual love here, then love will take it. That's what this love is designed to do. That's why spiritual love is the new commandment. It is designed to take the hurt. Take whatever wrong is given. And that's why it's going to be related to the greater works in John 14:15. Because of what it will do to you to allow you to keep moving on. People, if we stop every time somebody hurts us, we're not going to get very far in life. But if we have this spiritual love always taking it, and long suffering, we're able to continue to move on, and what they get is kindness, for love is kind. If you and I just keep on moving, we're able to keep on moving. Why am I able to keep on moving? And why are you able to keep on moving? Because love is taking the burden from you. My burden, my yoke, my command is kind. It's kind to you. You don't have to bear it. Let love bear it. Let love take care of it. And it won't be heavy on you. If you will do love in return, it will not lay heavy on you. You won't need human psychology and human therapy and all of the things that humans say they need when they've been maltreated. They've been a victim. They've been this and that. Love can take it so that you and I can go on. That's why it's a light load. Well, I hope you get the point because I've got to move on. But that's what love is here. Now, before you will ever love as Christ loved, you must respect the giver of the law, the giver of the commandment, and then maximum respect of the law of love itself. Understand this is an obligation. This is what I'm obligated to do, and that's this love. I'm not obligated, people, to take control of other people's lives. I'm not obligated to straighten people out. I'm not obligated to take responsibility for when other people are wrong. And when you start just taking these burdens off of you, it gets lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter, doesn't it? I'm really not responsible for when somebody else is wrong. That's between them and the Lord. I am responsible to love. This is what I'm responsible for. I'm responsible to encourage. I'm responsible to reconcile. I'm responsible to glorify Christ. I'm not responsible for everyone else and what they do or don't do. So a lot of Christians carry a burden around them. And you know what the burden is? They are God's police. They have got to keep everybody in line, and that's what they're going to do. And they've got to malign. They've got to judge. They've got to go in and cause division and trouble. They've got to do all the things that religion does. But not love. Love doesn't have to do all of that. There's just a whole lot that's taken off of you. I'm not responsible. And it's not something you can just say. It's something you're going to have to experience when you walk by faith and this love is poured into it. So Christ is giving us the law of love, declared that by this law, that is, by observing the law of love, as he loves, the world will know, all will know, angel and man will know something about you in this spiritual warfare. Here's God and Satan, and when I put Satan here, I'm talking about all of those angels that followed him, all of the angels that followed God here, and all members of the human race, man, they're all going to know something about you. I didn't write that. People always want to say, yeah, but no, no, no. This is what Christ said. And you can't find that anywhere else in the New Testament. Well, if you know a lot of doctrine, then they'll know you're really a Christian. You won't find that. If you do a lot of service, then they'll know you're really a Christian. You don't find that. We're bound to this here. By this, all will know that you are mine. And that is, if you will love as Christ loved you, this is how all will know. They will know what creature you are. And then the thing we're going to see Sunday in dealing with the new commandment, I said I wasn't going to do this, in the new commandment, or in dealing with the greater works, if you love me, you keep my commands. And I sat there for long. Why? Why is that important in doing the greater works? Why is loving Christ important? Why is loving other believers important in doing the greater work? because people, unbelievers, which is the whole context of greater work, they are watching the body of Christ. What kind of God do you present to the world? What kind of God do they see in you when they hear you? Do they hear and see a God who is going to judge and get even, and a God that you just walk around, boy, that he's going to get me now? Or do they see a merciful, gracious, loving God? What is going to appeal to them? Most people in the world, they don't want a God who's going to come and get them, because unbelievers, and basically in their soul, know, I'm no good. And boy, if that's the way he deals with his own, I don't even have a chance. But God himself says, and I'll show you this, in Romans chapter 3, he says, don't you understand, why do you have contempt for kindness? Don't you know my kindness draws you to repentance? So what kind of God do you and I represent to the world? That's why, people, I want this to sink in. It isn't our righteousness that is going to appeal to them. It isn't our knowledge that's going to appeal to them. And we must have both of those. It isn't our service that's going to appeal to them. And we must have that. It isn't our proper emotion that's going to appeal to them. And we must have that. What's going to appeal to them is the love of Christ. That's what's going to appeal. And that's why it's related to the greater work. And that's why this is what you and I must do in our life. So we're here to imitate Christ, to be transformed into his person, into his image, coming out from us. Now, if you have to write down on a piece of paper, or worse yet, have to tell somebody, what would you say, what would you write down? It says, how to love as Christ loved. See? And, you know, this is what I want to do. How am I going to do it? And this is what we're in the midst of looking at, how we're going to do it. Now, there are a lot of passages that we can work through, and I'm not going to really do a great number of passages. I just want to go through these things and learn. But I want you to see what is the work that is set before us. And, you know, another thing I guess I'd like to ask, and if you already know the answer, so it loses the drama of the question. But the question is, if you were around in, let's say, 96 A.D., and church age is just starting, and you're sitting with some other people, or even earlier than that, but you're sitting with some people in the first century, and you started asking yourself, what is it that is going to let people know that we are Christians? What is it that is going to let them know? We don't take on a different color. Our color of our skin doesn't change when we become a Christian. Everybody that's a Christian doesn't turn green. So it can't be that. But we got to come up with something so that everyone will know we are Christians. And what would you write down? What do you think would be in your mind? What are some of the things you'd come up with that you'd say that so that everybody's going to know in our community, in the world, and if you understood the spiritual warfare, in the spiritual warfare, what is it that's going to let them know? Well, you go to church every Sunday, and they're going to see you go to church. When they're doing their yard, and I don't know if they did yards in the first century, but, you know, when they're out washing up their chariots and doing this kind of stuff, and there you are going to an assembly meeting with some other people. And they hear you singing in that little house where you are. They hear this new kind of singing going on. That ought to do it. That ought to let them know. See? By what we tell them. And by the way we do this and that. You just have to say, this is what Jesus Christ said, our Savior. Jesus Christ said, no, I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's not a creed. It's not how you dress. It is if you can love, if you will love, as I have loved you. See? This is what he said. Now let's look and go through a quick study for our first question, how to love as Christ loved. Turn with me to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 is, the whole book of Galatians is a powerful book, it's one of those books that just deserves kind of a walk through, not in a 200 lessons, but at about 10 or 15 lessons. I remember Hal Lindsey did a series on Galatians, and the first lesson he gave was, grace is not a blue-eyed blonde. I don't remember a thing you said in that lesson, but I remember the title of the lesson. Grace is a blue-eyed blonde. It's not a blue-eyed blonde. Grace is not a blue-eyed blonde. Now, this is Paul's first book, probably the first book of the church, The Battle Between This and James. It's written after the Jerusalem Council. It is a reading through of the Spirit-filled life. This book deals with the Spirit-filled life. And there's a part of the gospel for the believer, and the gospel for the unbeliever sets the pattern, the model. It is the model for the life of the born-again believer. And that's what Paul is here talking about. Then you go to chapter 3, you foolish Galatians, he has charmed you. People, listen to me. Not bewitched, but charmed you. More people are led away from grace and faith by being charmed, by appealing. They move away from the truth. Now, the who there is that perpetual who we have through the Bible, and that refers to Satan as the one who lays the groundwork for all of this. But who has charmed you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Forget everything else. I want to find out one thing from you people. It has gone back to the law for the spirit life, for the Christian life. I want to find out one thing from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit at the beginning by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? Tell me how you did it. Did you do it by faith or did you do it by works? How did you initially receive the Spirit over here? Did you receive the Holy Spirit by faith or by works? Duh, faith. Ding, 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 ding. Right answer. Very good. Very proud of you. Right answer. Continue in verse 2. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, so you say, by faith. Oh boy, good. Are you so foolish then? Having begun by the Spirit, in other words, by the Spirit by faith over here, having begun by the Spirit by faith, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Now, the perfecting is this living of the Christ-like life, taking on the image of our Savior. People, life is very short, and we have to get down into our minds, my marriage, my single life, my whole life is about being transformed into the image of Christ. Very few Christians will ever get there. A lot will talk about it because we live in a society that is so busy and so oriented to things and accomplishments. We have to reach the point, and that's why sometimes you'll find people whose life, a lot has been taken away from, and Christ becomes the center of their life, and very busy people judge them. Well, yeah, they have nothing else to do. If they were busy like me, they wouldn't be able to do that. Boy, I hear what you're saying. Because what God has done, He's taken that person and put them into that position of weakness where I have no choice but to live. It's a wonderful place to be, where I have nothing else but to live my life centered in the person of Christ, to be transformed into His image. And that becomes something so powerfully important in life. Then he says in verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things if indeed it was in vain? Does he then who provides you with the Spirit and works miraculous power or has miraculous working miraculously in, among you, do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? In other words, is it going to be by faith or is it going to be by works that you're going to be filled with the Spirit and live the Christian life? Now look at chapter 5. Chapter 5. This is the heart. He's getting down to it now. Chapter 5. And we looked at it last week, so we'll just read through Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And remember, we saw that the first thing to love is Christ, love is freedom. It was for freedom. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Now, we've been talking about a yoke. What is a yoke? What is the yoke he's talking about here? The yoke of slavery. What is the yoke of slavery talking about? Take a guess. Law. Talking about law. Don't go back from the law. Don't try to be filled with the Spirit by something you do, by how good you are, by what you say, or things like that. Don't do that. It can sound so right when religious people come to you and they've got all the things you ought to be doing. Don't go back under the yoke of the law. Stay with grace. It's simple. Stay with faith. It's easy. This is what Paul is here saying. So, therefore, stand firm. Do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Again, principle, you must be free to love as Christ loved. You cannot be enslaved to the law to love as Christ loved. And again, freedom is essential to love as Christ loved. God was free to love and to send his son to die on a cross. Jesus Christ was free to offer himself up. Nobody takes my life from me, Christ said. I lay down my life on my own authority. No one else takes it from me. I do it on my own authority. He volunteered himself as an offering of love, a sacrifice of love. He did it freely. You have to be free to do that. You have to be free. And now, if we are to love Jesus Christ, if we are to love as Christ love, we must be free. Point one, we must be free of the bondage of sin. We must be free from the bondage of sin. On the cross, Jesus Christ freed man from the bondage of sin, and now we are free to love. We must be free of the power and control of sin, for the nature of sin is what? Why must we be free of sin? I put it on the board. We must be free of sin. Why must we be free from the bondage of sin? Because, people, sin is of the old man, and the old man never wishes to love as Christ loved. You cannot be spiritual love and be in sin. We saw this last week. You cannot be in sin. You cannot be in mental attitude sin or whatever it may be and be spiritual love. The example we used last week. You can't be driving in your automobile and get out of the power of the Spirit because of what somebody's doing on the road and then turn to the person next to you and try to exemplify spiritual love. The flesh can't do it. Don't kid yourself. This is something that is real as far as our life is concerned. Secondly, we must be free from the power of the sin nature. We must be free from the bondage of sin. We must be free from the power of the sin nature. It is the nature of the old sin nature not to love. Now, this takes us to an important study, which I'll only comment on and then move on. And that is this. For an example, what is jealousy? What is jealousy? We can talk a lot about jealousy. Jealousy is a sin. Jealousy is a lot of it. Let me tell you what jealousy is, so that you'll understand it. I want you to understand the sin, but I want you to understand why and what you know about yourself when you're in jealousy. Jealousy is the immune system for the old man, for the flesh, for the old man, for the old me. That's what jealousy is. Because any time the flesh feels threatened, jealousy pops up. What's anger? Anger is the same thing. Immune system for the flesh. That's how you can know you're in the flesh. When there is jealousy and anger, you know why. Boy, the flesh really feels threatened. See, remember what an immune system does. Here's your body. And here's the attack coming here. And our body and the immune system has an alarm. No, 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 no. And a whole army goes right there. This army is called T cells. And they charge right there very quickly because the body feels threatened right here. Remember, the most important thing to the immune system is what? Recognition of self. That is absolutely essential to any immune system. That's what AIDS is, the inability to recognize self. And therefore, no protection. But what happens here is, you recognize self, it recognizes the flesh self, it feels threatened, somebody got a promotion over you, in a romantic way there's jealousy, in work way there's jealousy, in just dealing with people there's jealousy, There's jealousy walking through the mall. Everybody looks better than you. Everybody has more money than you. Whatever. Especially in North Dallas. This becomes very, well, what happens is all of these T-cells right here, and those T-cells are jealousy, anger. All of this has cropped up. Now, let me give you a little more of counseling. Let's take the husband, just to for the sake of illustration. There's a husband and a wife. Husband comes home. He's angry and he's jealous. He's angry and jealous because at work, he has passed over and someone else got a promotion. Let's use that for an example. Okay, now here's the wife. The wife can do one of two things. Show you what Peter means that love covers all sin. What the woman can do is, here's the sin of her husband, of jealousy and of anger. Now, what this woman can do is, she can stop right here and concentrate on the sin and on his jealousy and start criticizing him, start judging him, and just be disgusted with him, and all of that, because she's going to stop and concentrate on this. Or, if she's in spiritual love, she will dip right over the sin, and she will see the need. And what my husband needs is, I know immediately what's going on. My husband is in the old man here. I know that, because the old man feels threatened. Now, what I want to do is to be able, under the leading, be led of the Spirit, follow the Spirit, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, be able to bring this man that I love back into the new man. What he needs doesn't need to stop here and have all of this judge. What he needs is this. He needs, let's let God take care of the job at work. I'm just using that as one way. Let's let God take care of that. You and I have a relationship with God. And Christ is important to us. Start getting this man thinking. Get his thinking away from this and that. And what this woman will have done, she will have seen the need and bring him back into the new man, and she's never said one word about this. Not one word. But spiritual love looks over the sin, sees the need, meets that need, whatever it's going to take to meet that need, and bring this person back into this point. That's what spiritual love will do. But we have to understand what these things are that protect the old man, what jealousy and envy and all these things are. What I'm showing you is that the old sin nature, or the flesh nature, our flesh nature, does not want to love as Christ loved. Why not? Why doesn't it want to? Because the love of Christ is what? What is the love of Christ? The love of Christ, how did Christ love? The love of Christ is sacrificial to self, for the benefit, I put it on the board, for the benefit of others, generally someone who's hurt you. The flesh does not want to do this, dear people. We must be aware of that. This is totally antithetical to human thought, is that I have to sacrifice. If I love you, why in the world should I have to sacrifice? It does not make sense. The only thing that really makes sense is, I love you, you should sacrifice for me. You ought to just, fall down and roll over because me, love you. But not spiritual love. Spiritual love says, I love you, I'll sacrifice whatever it takes for your benefit. This is people, is why we learn, you and me, we learn how to love from Jesus Christ, just like a woman, a wife, should learn how to love from her husband. She will see how to love. And she learns. She responds. She responds to what is given. So she responds to how he loves. A woman learns how to love from her husband. He shows her how to love. And she responds to that in kind, in likeness. I learn how Christ loves me. I respond that way. We'll look at a passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul says that. So we see how he loves, and we are controlled and compelled. People, if you're around a person that loves this way, you may not even like them, but eventually you just got to be around them. It's got to constantly be around them. I want to be around them. Why? Because of the way they love. It's capturing. And this is what the new commandment will do. And this is why it's related to the greater work. But we must be free. We must be free. Don't deceive yourself. We must be free of the sin nature. Because it is the nature of the sin nature not to love this way. It is the nature of sin, of the sin nature. It is the nature of the flesh to love this way. For self and for the benefit of self and others will sacrifice for me. That's the way. Whether we like it or not, that's the way the flesh likes to think. You need to sacrifice, honey, for my benefit. You need to give up what you want for my benefit. My benefit. And when you get the woman thinking that way and the man thinking that way, look where your marriage is. Look where your life is. Both people standing there thinking because of their love, the other person should sacrifice for your benefit. In the spiritual battle that we're in, one of us finally says, hey, that's wrong. Get into the spiritual life. I will sacrifice. Hey, I don't sacrifice. I'm the man. You understand that? No, that's not what spiritual love says. Jesus Christ, people got down and washed their dirty, stinking feet. That's not just a story. We are to follow, pursue that. Follow suit. No, we don't come up with some kind of legalistic ritual where we come in here and wash each other's feet. That doesn't even, there are people who do that, by the way. I don't know if you know it. There are little sects of Christians that that's what they think it means, and so they have foot washing ceremonies. And they come in and wash each other's feet. Oh, people, it's going to be far more than getting down and washing somebody's feet. That's nothing. That can be done and turned into fun and a ritual. It's when you have to do it in real life. But it's going to hurt. It's going to cause sacrifice on your part. Your pride has got to be dropped. The Son of God, the Savior of the world, going to die a few hours later, takes off his outer garment and gets down and washes their feet. Think about it. But I'm too good. I'm the man. I'm the woman. And women don't have to do that anymore. We are in women's rights time. And women don't do that anymore. The world is just messing up our understanding of spiritual love. We're taking psychological terms, psychological concepts, and we're putting them into the Bible. And why does it fit? It fits because it goes very well with the flesh. It goes very, very well with the old man. My God, how far down do you want me to go? All the way to the cross. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for the brethren. People, is that just a verse to us? Or can you do it when it's demanded? If God's going to use you, is it just a verse or is it something you're ready to use? It's got to be a reality. No, no, no. I'll do it if they do it. I'll wash his feet if he washes mine. I'll give him a back rub, he gives me one. That's the way we live. That's not the way spiritual love lives. That's not what spiritual love is about. So first of all, free from the bondage of sin. Second of all, free from the power of the old sin nature. I hope you understand. I thought here, do I go through a whole study of the sin nature again? But I just want you to know, the sin nature is the flesh. And we must be free from the bondage of the flesh. If you're not free of the bondage of the flesh, you will not love as Christ loves. You will not be free to. Because as long as you're under the power of the flesh, this is why Schaefer's model is so important, people. And I like the way Schaefer put it. He said, over here, here's an unbeliever, but over here is a believer, and he's under sin, the power. And people, as long as you are under the power of sin, in the old man, you're not going to love as Christ loves. We must be delivered. We must be saved out from this power, and that comes by faith. And the moment we have that faith, boom, we're in the Spirit-filled life. And in the Spirit-filled life, the Holy Spirit can now pour in spiritual love, and what comes from us is the very image and person of Jesus Christ himself, so that what people see is not me, but they see Christ. What they see is not me, they see Christ. And this is why we must be free of it. Thirdly, we must be free from the power and dominion of Satan. Now we're outside of ourselves. We must be free from the bondage and the power and the influence of Satan, a real person who seeks to neutralize your spiritual life. He is a real, real creature. He has demons that are real. They do not want you to live the Christian life. They do not want you to love as Christ loved. They do not want you to worship with those who understand the issue. And they're going to do everything they can to charm you away from living by faith and living by grace. Faith only. They're going to charm you away, and it's going to sound right. And we must be free from the bondage of Satan. You cannot love if you're under the bondage and the power of Satan. It is impossible for Satan people to love. Satan cannot love. And this is why he hates this concept of love. It's what defeated him on the cross. He hates this love, and he hates it when you love as Christ loved. Why? I'll tell you why. Here's God and Satan. And what happened was, his man brought him to the picture, and Satan came in. He was jealous, and he broke the relationship of man and Satan with sin. Sin resulted in death. And Satan now has control over man, and that's the way he wanted everything to be. What defeated Satan? What defeated Satan was God's love. He demonstrated his love by sending his son, and on the cross, Satan was defeated. Three people were crucified on the cross. Jesus Christ, all members of the human race, and Satan. Only two will return and receive the resurrection. Jesus Christ, the members of the human race who will believe in him. This one was defeated. What defeated him? This love. The same love that can come through you. People, when you're doing spiritual love and the power of the Holy Spirit, you are defeating Satan's power over you. He can't stand that. And he's going to do whatever he can to move you away from this love. In fact, this love not only defeated Satan, those first two were talking about the sin, he took care of the old sin nature there, and he took care of the judgment of sins, the righteousness and justice of God in satisfying that, and delivered you from the power of the sin nature in the old sin nature in your life. And how did he do it? He did it by a demonstration of his love. Same thing that you do. You are set free from the three sides of the triangle. You are set free from the power of Satan, the judgment of God, and your own sin nature. And now you can love as Christ loved. And that's what happens when you do love as Christ loved. Those things start happening in your own life. Four, we must be free from the Mosaic Law. Why do I say that? Most of you know we don't even live by the law. You'd be surprised how many Christians today and non-Christians think that the law has something to do with our Christian life. It would surprise you. How many people? They may not even want to say it, call it the Mosaic Law, but if you listen to them talk long enough, just let them talk, and you're going to see law. You're going to see do and do. You got to be good. You got to do this. You got to do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. Those who do this and they're good. Those who do this. You listen to them long enough, and they're going to have you right back under law. People, we must be free from the Mosaic Law. Chapter 5, verse 1, do not go back under the yoke of slavery. Don't go back under law. But it sounds so right. I know it does. That's why it's so appealing to people. And we can control each other with it. And we can see with it. But when you walk by faith, you can't walk by sight. And we don't want that. The nature of man doesn't want that. I want to have on this little portion here. And I keep using this because, I don't know if you know it or not, but in Jewish synagogues, the law is written on the walls around, in the old ones. But I want on here everything that we do so we can read it. And then I can control your life. See, you're not doing this one. And you're not doing this one. And you're not doing this one. And I'm not doing that one. And we can control each other. And I can see with my eye if I'm living the Christian life. We don't walk by sight anymore, people. Don't go back under the law. We walk by faith. And people will say, yes, but. And that but is the dagger. That butt is the dagger. And people, that dagger will kill you. It'll cut your feet where you can't walk anymore. It'll put you right back under bondage. And it's so easy for Christians to go back under bondage. It's the easiest thing in the world. I'm amazed at how quickly you've gone back. Christians can see the light. at the cross and go right back under a system of do and do and listen to it and be charmed right after. We must be free from the Mosaic Law. People, the Mosaic Law, watch this, cannot give you this blood. The Mosaic Law is designed for you to sin. It is designed for you to see your sin. It is not designed to give you any power whatsoever. It is designed only to show you your inability. And that's why the frustration of scribes and Pharisees, very quickly, that's their frustration. We can't do the love, therefore, let's do the righteousness. And look at our life, how great we are. How many times we pray, how many times we do this, how many times we do that. Hey, Rabbi, what's the greatest command of all? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and the second is likened unto it, love one another. We can't do that one. And since we can't do that one, we'll keep pressing what we can do. And this is what happens in modern day Christianity with a lot of religions. We can't do the love, so we have our norms and our standards of what really constitutes a great Christian, and it isn't loving, it's Christ's love. That's not a stop. It isn't walking by faith. It's whatever your system is. Whatever your system demands that you do. So, we must be free from the Mosaic Law. And finally, five, by faith, in Jesus Christ, we are free. We are no longer under the law. We're no longer under the power and dominion of sin. We're no longer under those things. We are now set free so that we can love as Christ loved us. Closing the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we take the warning and stand guard. We're told throughout the New Testament to stand guard, be alert, stay awake, stay sober. All of these imperatives given to us because it's so easy to go back under law. Oh, Heavenly Father, we know when we go into sin, in the normal sense of thinking of it, we can see the ugliness of it. But Heavenly Father, it's so difficult to see the ugliness of living under the law because it looks so right. And the real tragedy is that under the law we can't love as Christ loved. We can only judge. So Father, it is our purpose to stand guard over our souls, to be alert all the time, every conversation we have, everything we read, everything we watch, everything we hear, to guard our position with Christ. We praise you for giving to us the power of your Spirit that we might love as Christ loved. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Hold with me one moment. I talked with some friends last night, and they were talking about a friend who is in drugs. And I don't know how many of you have been around somebody that really is into crack. I learned some things. Or let me just tell you, what I learned was the person wakes up, they wake up and the first thing in the morning, they plan their whole day. They plan their whole day how to get the crack, how to get more of the drug. And they lay out their scheme. That's why they will come across so well at work or in a relationship with family, whatever. But they plan what they're going to steal, what they're going to do in order to get the money to get the drugs. They lay it out. I sat there listening to the horrible stories. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable stories. But what I thought was, what if we woke up in the morning and we planned our whole day to glorify Jesus Christ? We said, okay, what I'm going to have to do, and I'm just throwing this out, I'm going to have to do, at 11 o'clock, I'm going to have to spend some time in prayer. At this time, I'm going to have to call so-and-so and encourage or be encouraged. Encourage that person in Christ. What I'm going to have to do is study scripture or meet with the assembly if it's meeting or listen to a tape, whatever it may be. In other words, we plan our whole day like the drug addict does, plan our whole day to glorify Christ. It's something to think about. When you're really obsessed with something like a drug addict, a crack addict, I was amazed things I learned. I mean, these people, and this isn't just one of them, it's just common. They wake up planning how they're going to get that drug and take care of this whole day. Everything is planned. Everything is plotted. how they're going to plot the family and put the feet before the family, the feet before work, and all these things just to steal or get so they can go get the crack. People, if we just plan out our day, you know what I'm going to have to do now? At 11, I'm going to have to pray, and I'm going to do this, and I have to do that, and so that I stay focused all day long on what I'm here for. Just throwing it out. Give us more.
Thank you.